This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the weekly segment that's called A-State Connections and Create at State, making connections that count. In this interview, Professor of History at Arkansas State University, Dr. Andrea Davis, joined students Jordan Carmer, Joseph Brown, and Molly Mason. They talk about how they're using the digital humanities to tell the story of Arkansas State University since the 1960s. I started the interview by asking Dr. Davis about her project.
At Arkansas State, in addition to being professor of history, I'm also leading a new initiative to start a digital humanities concentration program. And these three students have been working with me since my first semester here last fall to think about how we can use the affordances of the digital age to be more effective researchers and communicators.
When you talk about digital humanities, kind of explain what that is.
Yeah, it's thinking about how can we use computational tools to analyze humanities research, or how we can use new media platforms to communicate our research to broader public audiences.
What are some of the ways that you're able to use that of a way of different digital platforms?
Absolutely. Well, these three are in my introduction to digital humanities class, and they're building on the work of a previous semester's graduate class who started a project on the history of Arkansas State since the 1960s. And so this group of students is going to work on continuing to build that collection that scholarship, so we have a greater understanding of how A-State became the diverse campus it is today.
And that's what I was going to ask about, the importance of this kind of research and what it means, what kind of impact it has. And this is a twofold question, one on Arkansas State and two on the community at large.
Yeah, I think it has a way of, you know, we live in an age where people are constantly decrying that the humanities are losing funding, that they may be less relevant than STEM fields. And I think this is a way of rethinking how people engage with the humanities, who is part of humanities research, and how it gets communicated.
Jordan Carmer joins me here. Jordan, thanks for coming in. Tell us a little bit about yourself as a student and what your project is on this, please.
I am a junior here at Arkansas State University. This is actually my second go. But so far, my role in this class has been really kind of trying to figure out the digital humanities. It was a new term when I first heard it, and I think that's been the case for a lot of us, is that we still approach the humanities in the old traditional sense, and that can affect how you approach it from a digital computational range. Because like Dr. Davis said, when it comes to things like computational analysis and things like that, we still associate that really heavily with the STEM fields.
As you kind of look forward, maybe what your role could be then, possibly?
You know, I don't know. I've had a lot of fascination with mapping lately, and I feel like if I could do something in that general area when we really start collaborating on this project, I feel like that would be a great experience to have, because I do think mapping, especially as a history major, is something valuable. It really helps us put a lot of things in perspective when we can actually see how it plays out on a geographic area.
Yeah, and with the kind of mapping that's available today compared to, you know, where it was years ago, how could you use technology in that to be able to really kind of help tell the broader story through the mapping tools that are available today?
There are some fairly basic tools like storyboards or story mapping, but you know, we've started getting into deeper tools like geospatial tools. It's just been a really interesting thing to see how we can use these digital tools to make this mapping more effective and more meaningful in our studies.
Joseph Brown, tell us a little bit about yourself and what your interest area is.
I'm a non-traditional student as well, going for my second bachelor's. This is going to be a bachelor's in BSE social science education. My take on the digital humanities is that I want to try, as a future educator, to find ways to engage my future students in the digital world, the digital humanities, and have them help them understand the broader picture there of what's all, what history and humanities is all about.
Right. And I know that's something that you're extremely excited about. You see, this is your second a bachelor's. As a non-traditional student, what are some of the things that you see that it's a challenge being a non-traditional student? I understand I was one as well. So how do you think the Arkansas State has been helping you in addressing some of those challenges as you've been going back to school?
Oh, well, there's been tons of help. I mean, just from getting back into school after being out for such a time, just giving us opportunities to do new stuff like what Dr. Davis is doing with our digital humanities program, making sure we feel involved. I mean, it's just the best thing to do. I mean, as far as I can see, just making sure we don't feel out of place with the younger students on campus.
All right. And how, if you don't mind my asking, how long was it between your first degree and now coming back?
About 15 years.
Yeah, that was what I found for me when I went back. It was about 15 to almost to 20 years in that. So there is a lot of that, you know, going back to school, having to do all that stuff. But, you know, when you think about Dr. Davis and other faculty, I know that they've kind of had an impact in how you're trying to get things going again as well.
I know they've been great. I mean, every class, I've had like three classes with Dr. Davis, and I've, you know, felt included in every one of them, and like, just part of the game. It's good.
What do you hope to do when you get your second bachelor's?
I teach high school. Really, that's what I got back into. I saw a need for quality students when my daughter was in high school. I didn't think they were teaching the humanities the way they should at the school she went to, so I wanted to get back involved and say, I could do a better job, I think, and I want to go in there and try to help students. If I can help just one student out in their career, to me, that's amazing. I mean,
what would be the area that you would think that needs to be more focused on when you're talking about teaching with humanities, as you say that, you know, with your daughter and that? What would be an area that you say, you know, this needs to be something that I would focus on if I was able to go back into the classroom?
My emphasis is going to be U.S. history and Constitution. I don't think enough students understand the Constitution and our early founding of this country and what we all stood for, why it came about. And that's something I would really like these students to know. They know we have certain rights, but they don't know why we have these rights. They're just there because we've had them. I don't think they're truly understanding why our founding fathers fought for what they did.
Yeah. And I know you're excited about this project you're doing with Dr. Davis. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, you'll be kind of learning as you go, I guess.
Oh, yes. It's a learning curve, I mean. But it's been great. I mean, I use tools that I have used over the years, but she's also implemented new ways of thinking about stuff that I had never thought about before and to a whole new level by using these digital humanities tools.
Very good. And we'll come back to you in a sec. Molly Mason also joins us here as we'll kind of go around as well. Molly, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind, please.
I am a junior history major, so I'll be getting my Bachelor of Arts with plans to pursue a Master of Arts in History, public history, following graduation. So for me, learning more about the digital humanities is also preparing me for that, because it's preparing me with new skills that are applied rather than just like the traditional research and writing that most historians would do. So public history is largely outside of academia, and it's engaging with the public. So learning these new digital humanities skills and tools will also teach me more how to engage with the public in a new way that will be more not necessarily entertaining to them, but more meaningful to them than just like the traditional history lecture or writing that you would see in a classroom.
And what do you think, and I want to ask Dr. Davis about this question here in just one second, but when you think about traditional juxtaposed with the new way of being mm-hmm. able to tell through digital mm-hmm. That we're talking about here, advantages, maybe disadvantages. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And Dr. Davis, think about that, because I want to come back to you on that, if you don't mind, please. Kind of what are your thoughts on that?
So I think both have advantages, and I think it's important to engage in both traditional and non-traditional forms of research. So without the traditional forms of research, you might not go as in-depth with the content that you would, like, as opposed to, like, just doing, like, the bare research that you might try to display to people in, like, say, like, a mapping tool or a timeline. Whereas with writing, you're really digging deep into that research and analyzing it in a way that you might not do with the public, the tools that you would use with, like, in public history. Whereas within the digital tools that you would use, it lets you kind of move outside of the classroom and learn how to engage with people that might not otherwise have an interest or even care about learning about why history is important.
So Dr. Davis, kind of as we were going through that and kind of moving the microphone around a little bit, kind of your thoughts on that same question I asked Molly about, you know, are there advantages, are there disadvantages, and how, you know, how do you work with both of those?
Absolutely. I think the first thing I would say is I don't see a clear divide between the traditional and the digital humanities. I think it's part of the same conversation. The digital humanities just add sort of more tools to your toolbox as a humanist. So that would be my first comment. In terms of advantages, the digital platform is just a different platform. It allows you to communicate and engage in different ways, whether that means because of the way a website might be structured, you might be able to communicate in a non-linear fashion, as opposed to a traditional monograph where you have a linear argument develop. The digital humanities also might allow you to say, let's rethink authorship. Maybe instead of writing a single author book, we can have a collaborative team of people who are engaged in humanities research, who are IT specialists, who are developers, who are artists, all participating together, and maybe even crowdsourcing and asking the public to participate. So those are some of the advantages of sort of changing the nature of who's involved and how work actually gets produced. And I think some of the disadvantages right now have to do with some of those same issues of how do you fund and support new kinds of collaborative projects. And I think the sort of broader questions we're all dealing with in terms of how does digital knowledge and digital material get saved? What kind of infrastructure do we have out there? So I think these are sort of broader challenges that we deal with, both in the humanities and much more broadly in terms of living in the digital age.
Dr. Davis, when you think about these three students here, Jordan, Joseph, and Molly, how have they, you know, when you talk about the mentor to student relationship, mm-hmm. your thoughts about these students and what they can bring to this project?
Well, what I want to say about these students first, is that since my first semester at Arkansas State University, when I started doing things in new ways, is they gave me the support to say, do it. We want to learn this way. We want to be engaged. And so they really have really pushed me and I think my whole department along in really developing this project and the Digital Humanities Concentration Program and imagining the kind of students who would be involved. In terms of this project, I'm really excited to see where they take it. We had a last semester, I had a great group of graduate students who dealt with difficult issues, including the integration of Arkansas State and some of the challenges around that, challenges related to the changing of the mascot and how that fit into sort of broader national debates about representation of indigenous peoples. And I just have so much sort of excitement about this group of students and how they're going to deepen that project and make it more engaging and contribute to it.
It's kind of going to be like an overall, you know, kind of a broad-based, you know, project on this. So this is kind of part of the overall piece, I guess, that they're going to be working
exactly.
on.
Exactly. It's going to continue to be an ongoing project where different classes contribute new things and bring new perspectives to what parts of the history of Arkansas State do we want to tell.
Before I let you all run, Jordan, I want to get your thoughts on the relationship of having professors like Dr. Davis and others kind of working and helping in that knowledge base of the classes. Kind of your thoughts on what she's been able to bring to kind of help you in your overall learning?
I think a lot of us really jumped to this whole digital humanities thing when she brought it to us, because we had never really heard about it before. And, I mean, we all love the traditional method of study, but Molly is here to go into public history to engage with the public more. Joe and I both want to be teachers, and I think we all have a sense that we want to advance the practices. We want to make them better, and that means that we can't just root ourselves in traditional methods of study and traditional methods of communication. We have to be willing to move forward and advance as the world moves forward around us. So I think this was a really exciting opportunity, and that's, I think, what made it so great for us and made us so eager to engage with it.
All right. Joseph, your thoughts?
Well, just as much as Dr. Davis said, we push her to be better. She does the same with us. We want to learn what she has to bring to this digital humanities program. By doing that, I hope to bring it to my students as well in the future. I mean, just so we can better society as a whole, because give us more ideas to think on a collaborative effort together for, you know, the betterment of society.
Molly, your thoughts?
So I think one of the greatest things about having this sort of like mentor relationship with Dr. Davis is that we can really see behind the scenes of what she is doing and see the passion that she has for this project, and seeing her passion for the digital humanities kind of is contagious, and we kind of get it for ourselves and we grow in that passion. We might not have been as knowledgeable about what was going on, but having this closer relationship with her than we would with maybe other professors kind of gives us an advantage, because we get to learn more than we might would have in other classes.
Very good. Dr. Davis, anything else you would like to add about this, please?
I have just been so excited to be in a department, a university, a community that has really supported trying new things. And trying new things can be scary. It can lead to failure. And I've found everyone from the library archives that I've worked with, to the people in my department, to my students, really be willing to take the leap with me and excited about where that will take them.
And that's Professor of History at Arkansas State University, Dr. Andrea Davis, and students Jordan Carmer, Joseph Brown, and Molly Mason. For A-State Connections, I'm Jonathan Reeves.